Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Forgotten Conservative. It is July 28th, 2022, Thursday morning, 0558, hour two in a rare midweek podcast. That was Tyler Childers. Over the last couple of days, I said in hour one that I hear things during the week. Most of you know I don't watch news. Hell, I don't have cable. But a lot of things I kind of hear, I hear top of the hour news from talk radio, which is just like any other, even though it's Fox News or Salem or Town Hall, which does one of the stations I listen to, they are, for the most part, conservative outlets. But the, let's say the mailman, as a metaphor, the person bringing the mail may not be quite the conservative that the organization is. So in other words, the person reading the news, putting their personality twist, etc., on the news at the top and bottom of the hour may not be as conservative, or have the same outlook as the company. Hopefully that makes sense. Nevertheless, so sometimes I get information that way. When something hits me, strikes me, makes me curious, I try to make a mental note to look it up. Other places, podcasts that I randomly listen to, a couple that you guys may not know. One is Todd Starnes, and the other is John Solomon. Kind of accidental how I found Todd Starnes when I was over the road driving through Tennessee. But I've heard him probably off and on for the last 15 or 20 years. I just didn't know he had his own radio show, of podcast, which is just the radio show, etc. Okay. And John Solomon is one of those great old-fashioned throwback journalists who would break stories all during the Trump-Russia collusion delusion. I don't think I've ever used that term. I've heard it, but never used it. Anyway, you would hear all across the bullshit media, fake news, etc., Trump's against the wall. This could be the final shoe to drop. This metaphor, this trope, this, you know, the sky is falling for Trump. Should he resign? So on and so forth about Trump. And then the next thing you know, John Solomon digging, not because necessarily he was a Trump guy or a conservative guy per se, but because he wanted the truth. That's why I say old-fashioned journalism, which now that I think of it, may be a misnomer or maybe a bad way to express it. I can honestly say, at least in our minds, and our is naivete the right way to put it? That we just always assumed that by and large journalists were simply looking for the truth. I don't want to debate that right now, but so I hear things, and I mentioned in hour one about the guy that wrote the story about calling the celebrities out that always say they're going to move if so-and-so wins. They never do. I haven't dropped the last 2.5 hours from Friday night yet. I hope to drop hour three at some point in the next 24 hours. Obviously, as I'm saying this, you haven't heard it. I haven't listened to it. I know pretty much what I said, obviously, but after I done that podcast Friday night, I go to work Saturday. I get there around 9 o'clock or so, drive all night, had a decent night, and was driving home probably around 8 a.m. Sunday morning. So about, I guess, what's that, about an 11-hour easy night, okay? And I hear this chick on the radio. Actually, I take that back. It was Monday. So it would have been when I went to work Sunday night, driving home from work Monday morning is when I heard this chick on the radio. And I've mentioned that we have shit talk radio here in town Monday morning. I don't like either program. Nevertheless, I was listening to the religious or a religious talk radio station. And it's not bad. I think that's the station I first discovered the pastor, preacher, whatever his title, Dr. Jeremiah Wright, that I've mentioned. Very, very good at his job. I love him. I love to hear him. So anyway, this chick, and I've heard it a couple of times on Monday or Tuesday mornings if I'm out running errands, things of that nature. But you think on the surface, this is a Christian church going, whatever religious station, you know, network. Okay. That all it is religion. And there's several talk shows in the 24-hour period. This woman happens to have what we know as the morning drive show. Maybe 2 or 3 hours of issues, politics, whatever. So I'm listening to her, and I think I've heard her, but I haven't paid attention, so to speak. Well, you know, you hear Trump's name a couple of times. You hear, let's say Dr. Oz's name, I think, was brought up, that he endorsed Herschel Walker, that he endorsed. So you're hearing this type of chatter from this chick on the religious radio. As I'm listening, especially, you know, hearing the endorsement of Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker, I know, okay, because I pay attention, I know that Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker are both weak candidates. Now, I'm not saying that they're both going to lose. I'm not saying it's automatic. But just knowing politics, just knowing that you're seeking a United States Senate job position, whatever. What I've seen on the political side, both of those candidates are extremely weak. What does that mean? It means that hopefully between now and as this election nears, that they can ride, number one, Trump's coattails. They can talk from the heart, talk about conservative principles, values. I think mention God's name or faith periodically, unashamedly. Is that right? Unashamedly. Well, I'm going with it. Mention God's name, faith, and or religion. Tell, relay stories, etc. You know, that's one thing that we get sick and tired of politicians doing, relaying stories about their childhood or how they grew up in the friggin' poorhouse. You know, kind of reminiscent of Dad walking to school in the snow, uphill, both ways, with nothing but a fake stick gun, and the area was prone to have bears or some shit. You know, like Owen Wilson says in Armageddon, so the scariest conditions imaginable. That's all you had to say. And so these politicians love these stories. I think Reagan started this trend, which is, I think is abused now for the most part and less than genuine in most instances. However, I think Reagan started the trend of having somebody at the State of the Union address. And I may be confused on this, honoring somebody. I do know Clinton, Obama, Hillary, Jesus. And there's been a Republicans along the way too that tell the woe is me story about this constituent in BFE, wherever, that is a single mom and, you know, fighting an uphill battle and babysitters and you know, working the McDonald's drive-through at 35. And these are the people, you know, just this tale of woe to elicit sympathy, to paint the picture that it's our job to just automatically help somebody. I'm not saying turn your back. I do believe, as I've stated unequivocally, that we are where we are based on our life's decisions. I've taken that to the next level to further state that at this point in my life, I wouldn't change anything. Do I have regrets? You're damn right I do. Do I have things I wish I had never done? Hell yeah. Things I wish I'd have never said? F and A. Ways that through my selfish behavior that I've hurt others. I think my biggest regrets, and I don't know that I've said this to close friends. I know I've said it to my sweetheart. I think probably if I were to say or rank, if I were to be asked what my biggest regret, or if somebody said, Danny, we know you're not changing anything, and we understand why. But if you could change something without affecting the space-time continuum, etc., what's your biggest regret? As I'm sitting here talking, and this whole thing is serendipitous and off the cuff and with no forethought, I think probably the fact that I was not a good husband in my first marriage. Because I, you know, when I relay stories or say that I think I may have said Friday night or the previous Friday about how I could relate to Tiger Woods when he had his press conference. I was not a good husband. And, you know, I could lie as good or better than George Costanza on Seinfeld. And even at times, again, ashamedly, assuming that's a word, but I'm still going with it. Even at times, bragging about the ability to get out of it. And it's just, it's certainly, not only is it something that shouldn't be bragged, obviously shouldn't have been done, number one, but shouldn't be bragged or boasted about. Because looking back, it just, I can't change it. But I'm very gracious that me and my first wife do have the relationship that we do now. And it's all her. I mean, because she could very easily, you know, have the opinion that she would like to take, you know, one of those fork thingy-majigs that you might use at a barbecue. You know, like you might want to use to carve a turkey or something. You know what I'm talking about. You get the visual. One of them long fork things. Because she probably has every right to stick that sucker down in the coals and let it get red ass hot and poke at my eyeballs. God forbid, you know, would I have had a valid course, what I was going to say, a valid argument or dispute the justice of it. I don't take this event lightly. It's just something that happened and was all over the news for various reasons, the drama for like 2 or 3 years. But the Lorena Bobbitt incident, where she basically said, hey, if this is what you're going to do, you know, you're going to have to find something else, because I'm chopping it off and throwing it out the window, which is what the chick did, if you've never heard that story. I used to joke about Hillary Clinton. Actually, I think I heard this from Rush, so I don't think it's my original thought. Well, I know it's not my original thought, but he was talking about Hillary Clinton taking the testicle lockbox of men. She had that ability to do to men around her, in her circle, all except for Clinton. And, hearing that and obviously following politics like I did and knowing just how nasty she was, I had no problems believing it. But I took that philosophy or attitude and morphed it into, you know, I'm sure that women wish that with men's behavior, they could do something similar. Hey, honey, I'm going out with the guys. We're going to go bowling, so on and so forth. Okay, come here. Almost as if it's like a prosthetic. Let me see it. I'm going to put it up in the lockbox. When you get home, you can have it back. You know, so in other words, I made jokes about it. I look back and I know one of these days I'll get up in front of St. Peter. I always say that. I'm not quite sure if that's the true way it happens. It says that in the Bible as far as the keys, but I think when, and it may be the version, the translation, but it's quite possible that's, in other words, that St. Pete's not standing there with the keys to allow you in or out of the pearly gates. However, it's widely acknowledged, so I go with it. Nevertheless, squirrel. So I always know that's something I'll answer for. And, pray for forgiveness. And try to do better, which I've done. It's an attitude. Be humble. I had a hard time. Because I've always been humble. I've mentioned before, I don't take compliments well. But I am vain. I think two things can be true at the same time. I think it's possible to be vain and humble. And I know I am. I hope. I don't necessarily, I should say hope, because ultimately I look in the mirror. When I shave, I look at myself in the face, in the eyes, and marvel at my Adonis appearance. I'm kidding, absolutely kidding. The point is, I'm the one that has to hold myself accountable. When I lay my head on the pillow, when I say my prayers, you shouldn't do good for other people. You should do good because you want to do good, not because of the reward. Again, it's better to give than receive. You do because you want to do. And your actions and good behavior should be because you want to. And all of this, all those things that I talk about, and not being bashful about admitting my past behavior and indiscretions, because it is a part of my past. And because I know it and know what I was capable of and how easy it was. I didn't even have to convince myself. And I've talked, touched a little bit about how society has changed. When, you know, back in, I say the old days, that guys would chase women. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I don't mean aggressively or anything else. But guys were the pursuer. Women were the pursuee. Somewhere during one of my marriages, or maybe towards the tail end of one and the beginning of two, somewhere in there, all that shit changed drastically. Because when I left in the summer, June of 2018, I was like, you gotta be effing kidding me with these women nowadays. And it wasn't quite like that when I was married in the first marriage. So I did initiate. But it was very easy to excuse that behavior with something, and it didn't matter what, but I would excuse it. And I was also under the false belief of doing good deeds, holding doors open and, you know, greeting people, being friendly, just doing good things like that got me kind of like points. You know, you're taking away points for this indiscretion, but I'm gaining them back by doing this. And it don't work that way. And I certainly hope nobody listening to this podcast believes that it does work that way. Because it doesn't. But I, you know, for whatever reason, all the influences that brought me to that point and now to where I am today, I'm grateful for. And I know that it's a constant thing. I don't want to say battle and insinuate that it's like, you know, some kind of addict. Not at all. But just like in whatever hour that was that I spoke about, I think it was hour two of Friday night, where I had that light bulb moment right in the middle of, literally in the middle of talking and kind of making a joke. And the light bulb goes off right there in front of our eyes, or ears in this case. And coming to that realization in mid-sentence. That's why I do what I do, to help me catch those moments when, even as making a joke, your outlook or perspective is flawed on the surface. And it's okay to make a joke, but the recognition to realize that, yes, maybe somebody cracked a smile or chuckled, but you immediately realize that it's a good thing you were joking and you didn't believe that philosophy, that statement that you made, that you know you said it, you couldn't stop it, but as soon as, you know, while those words were still hanging in the air, you immediately knew that it was the wrong way to look at it. That's why I am evolving for those type of moments. Oh, excuse me. Let me get one more swallow of water. Oh, thank you. Anyway, so hour three, which I just uploaded before I started recording, I will listen to again and try to get it out within 24 hours. But I beat up on Trump again. So as I was talking about this lady Monday morning, she brings up the Arizona senatorial race, the primary on the Republican side. Now, I've scratched the surface on it. I've heard one candidate. I've read some things about the other candidate. Done just, again, scratching the surface of investigating. I pretty much kind of was formulating my opinion when I heard this interview on Todd Starnes. And as far as I know, this is what hour three was about Friday. And even though I'm confident in everything I said, and whatever I said is, you know, once I make sure that I'm not going to delete anything. I don't have any reason to doubt my outlook from Friday night and the things that I said. I still wanted reinforcement. I still wanted to dig further because of what I heard from this church woman Monday morning. And I wanted to go over this, not necessarily to dig into Trump some more, but to say this is how this stuff happens and why you can't just take somebody's word for it or follow a candidate because that candidate is endorsed by somebody that you believe and trust their principles. This is why you have to get your fingernails dirty and research and find out about the candidates. That's why I dug deeper after the podcast Friday night. Anyway, for the record, I had to take a short break. So I paused the recording. I had to talk to my sweetheart. And so this is one of the times that we try to talk when we can. Talk in the mornings 3 or 4 days a week and video chat when we can as she goes to bed. So hopefully this is seamless, the end product, I guess, the podcast as it will be delivered. But nevertheless, if there's a gap or some type of glitch, that would be the explanation. So getting back to this Arizona Senate GOP primary. I hear this woman on the religious station Monday morning. She says that the governor, Ducey, is longtime establishment, rhino, such as the Mitch McConnell type. She says that one of the candidates, Carrie Lake, who Trump has endorsed, was in an interview with Bret Baier on Fox, and he was just nasty to her. If I'd have known I was going to record midweek, I probably would have tried to fish that video on YouTube to view it and see it for myself and judge it based on the content. Again, which is one of the things I try to do in general, and I highly, highly encourage people to do that. Don't just take somebody's word when they tell you something. We know about fake news. We know Democrats will lie, look in the camera and lie. We've seen it the last several years. After the elections, the elites telling us, you know, just lying. The old analogy, pissing down our neck and trying to make us think it's raining. Okay? So they have no qualms about lying. In what I do to verify or confirm something that I hear, it's not that I necessarily distrust a conservative talk show host or top of the hour news, etc. Because for years, as I've tried to explain how the media bias works, it's not always or definitively that they're telling untruths or stretching the truth or little white lies. A lot of times it's what they don't tell you. It's a lie by omission. For instance, this January 6th committee, they are presenting carefully editing selective testimony to portray their narrative. Big orange mean bad man, insurrection, overthrow the government, so on and so forth. The lack of the adversarial system, which is what this country was founded on, prevents a counter argument, counter narrative. And in many cases, just that I've read or discovered, witnesses, memos, testimony, things have been offered to counter or to disprove what's been presented to the public so far. So you can say all these mean, bad things about January 6th, and if you don't present the other side of the story, the logical conclusion is to just believe what you've heard, either through the hearings or the nightly recap, cable news pundits, so on and so forth. So we know that going in when it comes to the other side, the drive-by media, etc. We just take it for granted on our side. We don't have to vet or prove or confirm because we just, again, maybe confirmation bias or trust or some subconscious desire that we can't trust the other side, but there's got to be somebody we trust, so we trust X commentator or X network. I think if nothing else proves that point, but Fox News on the evening and aftermath of the 2020 election should kind of, at least as far as Fox is concerned, nip that perception and belief in the bud. Okay? Because some of your commentators may be conservative all day long, But the people behind the scenes are rhinos, quasi-liberal, not kooks. But what at one point would have called a Reagan Democrat or a Blue Dog traditional Democrat. Paul Ryan's on the board at Fox. So that tells you, and I think I've mentioned that before. The point is, you still have to confirm for yourself. So as I'm digging into this, listening to this woman, she claims that Carrie Lake, the former anchorwoman, is the true conservative. That Robeson, or Robson, however she pronounces it, is the rhino. And that may be a common battle in Republican primaries to an extent. Carrie Lake can boast that she's got Trump's endorsement backing. They did a rally. I think it may have been over the weekend. In fact, whatever day the rally was that Trump was there speaking at Carrie Lake's event, Mike Pence was at the event endorsing her opponent, Robeson. One of the things that I heard in the interview with Todd Starnes, who, make no mistake, is somebody, well, I don't want to necessarily say you can trust. Sometimes I verify the information, obviously. I just know going into any broadcast or podcast I listen to with Todd Starnes, I know he's a conservative. I know ifs, ands, or buts. That doesn't mean that he may omit something or slant something or that doesn't put him above that. I just know I think it's unlikely, but I know his philosophy, his inside of him, morals, principles are conservative. He's interviewed both of these candidates. I just happened to hear the one Robeson. Again, had I known that I was going to record tonight, that's another interview I may have tried to find. I mentioned in the podcast Friday that, you know, Trump he endorsed the woman in the Alabama race that, no ifs, ands, or buts, is a rhino. She is at least less trustworthy and less conservative than her opponent, Mo Brooks. Trump backed her because, number one, she jumped ahead in the polls, and number two, she's on the 2020 election results bandwagon. Carrie Lake, the same thing. At one point, she was ahead in the polls. I haven't read any confirmation or anything to back up that had anything to do with Trump's endorsement. The reason it was a part of the story in Alabama with Mo Brooks and his opponent was because Trump had originally endorsed Mo Brooks, rescinded that endorsement, and went with his opponent when Brooks backed away from the 2020, and this chick embraced it, took it and ran with it. So that's why it was an issue there. From all indications, the Republican establishment, i.e. McConnell, supports Carrie Lake. So again, just from the outside looking in, you've got Trump and McConnell endorsing the same candidate. Same thing as in Alabama. Another part of the interview I heard is that the Democrats are running ads against Robeson in Arizona. Is it against her? Yes, it's against her. And one of the things I mentioned Friday is, why would the Democrats attack a Republican primary candidate, she may not even get through the primary. Well, it's simple. And I mentioned this Friday. They attack who they're afraid of. When they put down Trump, they're really putting down us. They're just not coming out and saying it. I think it's pretty clear and evident that, as Ted Cruz said in 2016, if you're taking on fire and artillery from the media, from the opponents, that must mean you're over the target. In this case, just as they're already on DeSantis, they've never stopped with Trump. You haven't heard really about any other potential Republican candidate. I'm assuming, I mentioned Pence and Nikki Haley Friday, but I haven't heard anybody else with any degree of certainty. But I haven't heard DeSantis, other than I'm concentrating on my election this November to be reelected as Florida governor. But yet they're still attacking him every chance they get. So knowing that behavior and that history, the fact that the Democrats are attacking her leads me to believe that that's who they're afraid of running against. So they'll prop up the rhino, allegedly, conjecture, supposition on my part. They'll pump up the rhino because the conservative is going to draw the people. The rhino may possibly keep the Republicans and or conservatives home by a percentage enough to allow the Democrat to win. And I believe I mentioned that also Friday night. I listened to the Robeson interview again, dug a little deeper. I don't have any issue at this point saying I have not seen I have not seen any evidence to contradict anything I said Friday. I still firmly believe that Carrie Lake is at least not as conservative as Robeson. Robeson has a history of supporting Trump. Big time, 2016 and 2020. Volunteer hours, phone calls, and money. It's right there. Carrie Lake's record so far, well, she's on the 2020 election bandwagon, but she's admitted that she lied. She knowingly lied about COVID, about masks, about the vaccines. She's admitted to lying on a range of topics. Now, she's using that to say, I got fed up and I quit. I couldn't do it. I couldn't live with myself. A crisis of conscience, etc. Which is smart. The best way to spin it. But the fact is, you did it. You made a conscious decision to do it. To knowingly mislead, lie to the people that look for you for the truth. No spin, no opinion. Give me the truth. We're in a pandemic. We have questions. We're nervous. We're scared. Give us the truth. And this chick admittedly lied to the people of Arizona. And apparently did it on many fronts. Now, I'm not saying necessarily picking on the woman, because I think if you want to be in the media today, you have to swallow some of that BS. Maybe even regurgitate. Reminds me of the movie V for Vendetta, when some character says the lady reporter is lying. And whoever she's around says, why? How do you know it's a lie? She says, because when she lies on camera, her eyebrow twitches or something along those lines. And the girl that made the original statement says, that's her tell. She knows when she's got to tell the people something that she knows is an outright lie, this happens with whatever, you know, her eyebrow, her ear, her lip, whatever. But in that movie, V for Vendetta, she does her job. Carrie Lake did it for a number of years. So you have to ask yourself, just based on that information, would you vote for? Not because that's who Trump is supporting, but all these years, Trump has railed on fake news. This woman is and was fake news. Even though she's had a crisis of conscience and admitted her mistakes and seeing the light, do you trust her in the United States Senate? With the country possibly hanging in the balance? With Joe Manchin announcing last night that he had reached a deal with Schumer on new legislation that's right now secretive, nobody knows? It's 50-50. That one Arizona Senate race may be the one that makes it 51-49 Republican or 51-49 Democrat. Or keeps it at 50-50 with Kamala the Clown as a tiebreaker. Obviously, that's the Arizona race. But you can't just follow a candidate because who is endorsing. And I simply look at it. Trump has embraced this former fake news purveyor because she's on the 2020 bandwagon. And I think it's despicable. I think it just shows a lack of character. That I don't know. And obviously, highly disappointed. But I have spent probably 2 or 3 hours in research since Friday. Again, having no idea I was going to talk about it again. But just for my purpose, for my knowledge, thinking, find something to contradict it. Find something to show that it's not just the 2020 race that is why he's supporting this woman. My intent since Friday was prove me wrong. There's got to be evidence that proves my outlook, my view, my perspective on this particular race. There's got to be something out there that says, Danny, you got the wrong idea. And why in the world is this religious woman on the radio saying the things about Bret Baier, which I take with a grain of salt? Ducey, the governor, whose brother is a reporter we all like, I can't make a judgment about him. So I don't know why this woman is supporting the former fake news, Carrie Lake. Is she a Trump sycophant? And just, you know, roots for her because Trump is? Does she know something I don't? She certainly didn't present it. Not even close. And in fact, what she said that morning that I sat in my driveway and listened to, trying to figure out what the hell's going on, why there's so much conflicting talk, what have you, rhetoric, that's when I knew I had to investigate just for myself again. And I spent 2 or 3 hours, and I have found nothing to contradict what I said Friday night, that Trump is once again supporting a rhino. And we wonder why we are in this position we are today. When you have Republican senators and House members, I think both votes on the gun legislation were under 20 Republicans, but they voted to infringe on Second Amendment rights for a certain sector of Americans based on age, which is, to me, is discrimination. Not to mention, technically, infringing on their right to bear arms, which violates the Second Amendment. And you had, you know, a dozen and a half or so senators and U.S. representatives vote for it for various reasons. And we want to, you know, support and endorse rhinos, and then wonder why we're mired in the swamp and we can't fight it. Every 2 steps we take forward, 1 step back. Because we have these rhinos that on certain issues will side with the Democrats. Anyway, I am almost out of time. I don't know if I will do an hour 3 or not. Remains to be seen. But nevertheless, thank you for playing along and listening to The Forgotten Conservative.